Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News. I'm Corey Myers. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel is not looking to rule Gaza after the end of the current conflict between Israel and the Palestinian militant group Hamas.
We don't seek to conquer Gaza. We don't seek to occupy Gaza, and we don't seek to govern Gaza.
In a Fox News interview that aired yesterday, Netanyahu said that Israel is not looking to govern Gaza and will have to find a civilian government that will be there. Following the U.S. airstrike in Syria, American troops have faced four separate attacks. On Wednesday, F-15s targeted a weapons facility in Syria utilized by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and affiliated groups. The subsequent day, the Pentagon confirmed at least four fresh assaults by Iranian-backed groups on U.S. bases in the Middle East. President Biden paid a visit to some United Auto Workers in Illinois yesterday.
President Biden is commending the reopening of a Stellantis plant as a crucial component of the fresh labor agreement between automakers and the United Auto Workers Union. Speaking with union workers in Belvidere, Illinois, Biden referred to it as a momentous achievement.
You guys sacrificed to save the automobile industry. Yes. And now the auto companies were doing incredibly well. So auto workers should be doing incredibly well as well.
The new deal encompasses substantial wage hikes and robust job safeguards. I'm John Schaefer.
Israel has announced daily four-hour pauses in the conflict against Hamas in Gaza. That move aiming to enable citizens in northern Gaza to relocate to safer areas and receive humanitarian assistance. Additionally, further humanitarian aid is being facilitated through the Rafah crossing from Egypt. This is USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Amazon opening up the online grocery experience to more people. The online retail giant announced yesterday that customers will no longer need an Amazon Prime membership to order groceries from Amazon Fresh for delivery or free pickup. The expansion will be available everywhere Amazon Fresh is offered and will be available to Whole Foods shoppers soon. The company adds Amazon shoppers will also be able to order from local grocers and specialty shops through the Amazon website. Yesterday, Jared Leto channeled his inner Spider-Man. The actor and singer revealed on the Today Show that he scaled a section of the Empire State Building earlier in the day to promote the global tour of his band, 30 Seconds to Mars.
I made it to the top, and I was just saying I saw my mother in the window of the 80th floor, and that was a nice surprise.
Leto is a passionate climber. He said climbing the building was a long time item on his bucket list. His ascent took approximately 20 minutes and happened on the building's east side, taking him from floors 84 to 104, placing him nearly 1,300 feet above ground. Kindergarten vaccine exemptions have reached a historic high. The report shows a total of 3% of kindergartners with an exemption, 2.8% of those being non-medical. I'm Corey Myers, USA News.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on, stop.
Hey, 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you. You remember the movie Father Stu, right? Well, we're going to be talking with a good friend and priest of Father Stu himself. A new book out is That Was Father Stu by Father Bart Tolleson. And this inspiring, insightful, and often humorous look at the life of Father Stuart Long is told by his close friend and priest. After their relationship began and almost ended with a practical joke, the two men were ordained together and forged a strong, lasting friendship as the exuberant, edgy Father Stu confronted a rare degenerative disease. The former brawler and professional boxer, as depicted in the movie, used every ounce of his declining strength to fight the good fight for souls. Father Tolleson, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Bill. Good to be with you.
So why did you have to write the book? Did you feel like maybe there were some of the things in the movie that needed to be cleared up?
I actually started the book before the movie was even announced because I was fearful that there wasn't going to be a movie made. There had been a lot of talk about it and a lot of kind of tries at a script, but it wasn't seemingly going nowhere. And I was like, well, Stu has so many great stories, so many things that people should know about. So I actually did my first draft of the book before the movie was even announced.
Well, great. Well, and imagine since then you probably maybe fine-tuned, made some changes, or maybe adjusted a bit, maybe not, because after all, you had first-hand experience with Father Stu.
Yes, we added some chapters after the movie was announced and came out, and so people could kind of get a clarification on why the movie was the way it was, and then also the real story about Father Stu.
Okay, well, let's differentiate that. Why was the movie the way it was?
Because it had 2 hours to tell the Father Stu story.
Right.
Which really, to do it justice and to get all the elements in there, probably would have been more like a 12-hour movie. And I don't think they were ready for Lord of the Rings again, Father Stu story. So I said, I think we can put that into a book.
Okay. Well, that's good that you were able to fill in the missing parts here. And the book, well, first of all, let's talk about your relationship. How did you meet Father Stu?
I actually met Stu over an email relationship. I was a seminarian for the Diocese of Dallas, Texas, and had family that had kind of moved up to Montana and was considering the change in seminary. And so I had reached out to a mutual friend and said, do you know any Helena seminarians? And he said, well, I know Stuart Long. Here's his email. So we started kind of an email correspondence. And then once I got up to Montana, we met face-to-face and hung out and got to know each other and became good friends.
What was it about Father Stu? I mean, that just, you know, it seemed that you connected quite quickly with him. There was so much of him that you could relate to.
Sure. We were both converts to the Catholic faith. We also had both had life experience before our move into the seminary. And so I think we kind of connected that way. We kind of had a view on life. We saw life in similar ways. Also, for Stu, it was his sense of humor. We both had really bad senses of humor and laughed a lot together.
Mm-hmm. So you could be real. I mean, and when you met Father Stu, of course, he was already dealing with this degenerative disease, right?
Well, he was dealing with it, but no one knew what was going on. I mean, Stu thought he had had a hip replacement surgery, and Stu thought it had something to do with that, the weakness in his body he was starting to experience from time to time. And it was actually in his fourth and final year of theology in seminary that he was definitively diagnosed with the disease. So it was kind of like right on the edge of becoming a priest, this kind of shock diagnosis.
Yeah, and here is a man who had been, like you said, he was a brawler. I mean, he was a man's man, a former professional boxer. And, strength as his athleticism was very much a part of his identity, was it not?
Absolutely, all the way through. You know, as his body began to kind of diminish, Stu didn't leave the brawler aspect of himself behind, but he became a spiritual brawler. So he would like to get in the thick of it with anyone who wanted to go head-to-head with him, spiritually, so to speak.
Well, yeah, I mean, he took that passion and that contention to a spiritual level, did he not?
Absolutely. You know, God just changed his heart. It's an amazing conversion story to see. Where he comes from is kind of this brawler, this agnostic troublemaker, and to see this guy have this huge conversion into the Catholic faith, and then this call to the priesthood, which was no one would have predicted he would have been a priest. In fact, early on when he talked to a priest, just a few weeks after his baptism, about becoming a priest, you know, that guy was like, no, not you. You're not necessarily the kind of guys we're looking for the priesthood, but God knew what he was doing, and Stu was exactly the kind of guy that the Lord wanted to be a priest. And so he kind of broke the mold a little bit on that typical, stereotypical idea of what a priest would be like. And then, of course, with his disease and his ongoing conversion to humility and to basically giving up his pride, that's when he got really powerful in his ministry.
Yeah. You know, in a way, as you lay this out, The way this unfolded it was perfect, in as much as that it wasn't necessarily, Father Bart, that Stu was running away desperately from his ailment. He had already made a commitment to the priesthood, and here, you know, he's probably as he's going through this, and like anybody dealing with an ailment, is saying, Lord, heal me. I'm coming. I'm a servant. I want to be healed because I believe I can serve you better. And God, in His almighty wisdom and His control, says, "Oh, but you can serve me well as you are." Right.
Right. But Stu didn't have that attitude when he first was diagnosed. I mean, people were talking about this is going to prevent him from being ordained, and there was some despair there, and he was like, well, how am I supposed to be a priest? I prepared for this, and now I'm not going to be a priest. You know, what does this mean? And he kind of fought that, and he was trying to figure out what God was going to do. And then an opportunity to go to Lourdes, France came up, and Stu thought at that point, well, this is what God's going to do. He's going to heal me physically so that I can be a priest. And when he didn't get a physical healing in Lourdes, initially he was just devastated. But then after a second day there and some more thought, he realized what he'd received was an interior healing, to be able to carry the cross well as our Lord carried it, and to be able to be a model of Jesus' suffering and yet of his love and his compassion as a priest in a wheelchair. So Stu had that interior healing, which was profound, and that gave him the wisdom and the strength to move forward to ordination to be a fantastic priest.
And how much more relatable, Father Bart, did that make Stu, you know, as he is going through this battle and talking, you know, to other Catholics and other people, you know, that were spiritually motivated. I think that this brought a dimension to his testimony that otherwise would not be there.
very relatable, because anyone who had something to complain about or suffering or trial or tribulation, Stu would just say, I understand. And they could, like, one look at him and say, this guy gets it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Father Father Bartolison is with us, and we're talking about his book. That was Father Stu, and we've got more right after this.
Nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back, but you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service, featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-559-7562 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-559-7562. That's 800-559-7562.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez, and our conversation with Father Bartolison continues. His book, That Was Father Stu, a memoir of my priestly brother and friend, Mark Wahlberg, writes about this book. He says it picks up where the Father Stu movie leaves off. Father Bart puts on the big boy pants for this one. We come to realize in God's mercy that Father Stu is still watching out for us. An interesting, parallel between you and Father Stu is no wonder that you two should come together. It was like destiny. I mean, you're both ordained Roman Catholic priests for the Diocese of Helena, Montana. You're side by side on December the 14th in 2007. You're both Catholic converts, which you said, having been fully initiated years before you met on the same day, April the 2nd, 1994. And, of course, you shared similar views about the church and oftentimes battled, as you write, with the same difficulties in our priesthood. Both of our dads were named Bill, and we're also both problem children of a sort. You know, their mothers will testify, huh?
I think and, so. My mom will testify, and I know Stu's mom always did, too.
Yeah. Well, and you start out, I mean, chapter one, and of course I was reading, you know, from the first paragraph of chapter one, and you identified Stu. He's just a character, right?
He was a real character, absolutely.
And of course, you two were joined at the hip, so here you are, two characters, you know, going through the priesthood and serving God. You know, and you made reference of this, is that Stu was a joker, and I got to imagine the two of you just had fun with practical jokes, right?
We did. We were kind of opposite sides of the same coin, so I was a little bit more cautious on things, and it was more like, let's just plunge in head first and let God work it out in the end. And I think we balanced each other out that way. I know Stu still liked to play jokes, you know, even when he was in his wheelchair and in priestly ministry. One of the things that would happen, which was really funny, was these wheelchair duels with another resident that lived in the facility with them, and they both had electric wheelchairs. And I had heard about it, but one day I was over there, and I see people scampering out in the hallway to get up against the wall or run into their rooms, and I kind of like, what's going on now? And I look down on one end of the hall is Stu, like a bull, getting ready to charge, and he's warming up his wheelchair. And this guy in the same kind of electronic wheelchair warming up his thing. And they kick it into gear at full speed, and they slam into each other. And I'm like, what in the world are these guys doing? They're going to kill each other. And
exactly.
I found out the goal is to knock the other guy out of the chair.
What do you think?
Like, I think it's a little dangerous, Stu. And he was like, no, it's fine. He goes, they'll never knock me out of my chair. I was like, all right, whatever. So,
yeah, but even still, I would think that
crazy.
You got that metal that would hit shins accidentally or something. I think that would cause some bruising. I mean, thank God as they were jousting, they didn't have anything else in which to knock the other out of the chair, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I was like, the last thing they need is a broom or something under their arm. So.
That is hysterical. But as you say, that was Father Stu. Right? I mean, it's like life can be fun, even in a wheelchair, life can be fun. Tell us some more stories.
Yeah. And he didn't give up his, his coaching career, you know, so as he was limited physically, what he decided to do, that he would have a workout club and coach people through this intense workout. And most of the guys that went would go once because they were like, this is way too hard. So it was end up being a bunch of women that would be in Coach Stu's workout club at the gym. So he would be over there in his wheelchair, dressed in his clericals, coaching these women, having them do these crazy sort of things. And it was a very spiritual thing. So you'd do burpees and pray Hail Marys in between. And then you do, you know, wall squats and pray Our Father. So it was just really crazy, these workouts. And some of the women were just like, they would complain. And I was like, well, you're the one that going over there letting Stu walk you through all that craziness.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's probably, you know, how do you wimp out when your coach is in a wheelchair, right? I mean, what does that say about your own character?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think that was what kept some of the women in. Eventually, I just said, look, you know, Stu knows what he's doing, even if he's in a wheelchair. So he's going to push you to the limit. And basically for Stu, as a former boxer, it's like the limit is when you, you know, regurgitate and the workout's over. So it was pretty tough. I never did it. I saw him a few times and I was like, no way am I going to join that club.
Mm-hmm. As priests with practical experiences, I mean, you had lived in the real world, you converted, you experienced life on the other side, and now both of you come in as priests. And
I got to imagine this really, for both of you, gave you a unique perspective and understanding of the flock. And maybe in some cases you were probably able to counsel other priests because you did bring some outside worldly experience into the diocese, into your priesthood.
Yeah, a lot of priests went to Stu for wisdom because he was so practical and down to earth and would just, you know, tell guys, you know, look, you got to do it this way, you know, be practical about it. But he was also tough. I mean, he was like, you know, we've been given a sacred trust. The priesthood recently has kind of been smeared because of a lot of bad things that have happened by a few priests. Mm-hmm. So we've got to kind of set it right. So we have to live out this virtue well, but we have to do it in joy. And we have to do it not being afraid of the world and not being afraid of things the world brings us. And as those people are looking for something beyond necessarily, you know, what they believe about organized religion. And they really need God. They need the Lord. And so we've got to bring that in an authentic way. And so, you know, Stu was tough on me. He would just say, look, you know, this is what you got to do. You got to live it out practically, but you got to be faithful to it. And not get discouraged by all the people, you know, that are trying to say, well, priests are this way or priests are that way. Mm-hmm. And so Sue would always challenge people to come and see him if they have an issue.
Right. Exactly. Well, and the thing, of course, what you hear even today is that maybe it's a time for, the vow of celibacy to be set aside and priests to marry. What was Stu's position on that?
Well, Stu was very committed to his celibacy, and I think, you know, as I am as well. Just from my perspective, as a Protestant growing up, you know, I was with all kinds of kids whose parents were ministers, and, you know, it's such a hard thing to give so much time and then to try to take care of a family. It's always a challenge, and so, you know, it's not my decision. I mean, Holy Church can decide what needs to be decided, but for me and for Stu as well, we were very committed to celibacy because it was a gracious gift of God to be given to be able to live this, to serve the people of God, but not in like, oh, what am I missing out on? But, you know, what is my sacrifice for a greater good that the Lord can give to people and a greater imitation of Jesus Christ?
Exactly. Well, after, Stu realized that he was dealing with this, that he was not going to get better, you say he goes to the Lord's, comes back, and he accepts, I guess, his faith at this point. And I got to imagine there was probably, I don't know how to put it exactly, Father Bart, but that it may be a renewal in terms of his relationship with God after that. Because I got to imagine when you come and you reconcile, hey, this is what I have to deal with in terms of sacrificing, and this is what God wants for me. And he seemed to accept that based on what you told me.
Right. I wouldn't say it was just an accepting of his fate, but, you know, there were dark days and there were discouraging days, you know, in every way. We all have those. We all have our weaknesses. But for Stu, it was an embrace of it, like a zealous embrace of it, because God
yes.
is going to work through him in a powerful way that if he hadn't embraced it, you know, it wouldn't. So, I mean, to see God be faithful to Stu as he weakened to get that strength and that embrace to serve the people of God was really an amazing thing to behold.
30 seconds left. What would you want people to take away from the book?
I hope that people, if they read it, whatever their struggles, whatever their tribulations, trials, I just am desirous that it brings them the hope, heavenly hope, not just
yes.
hope and like I can get through the day, but hope that God is involved in whatever that struggle or trial is. God was involved in Stu's life, and even since Stu has passed.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
USA News Update. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel is not looking to rule Gaza after the end of the current conflict between his country and the Palestinian militant group Hamas. Following the U.S. airstrike in Syria, American troops have faced four separate attacks. Officials say the U.S. is employing proportionate responses aimed to avoid further conflicts in the region. President Biden paying a visit to some United Auto Workers in Illinois yesterday, praising them on the reopening of the Stellantis plant.
You guys sacrificed to save the automobile industry. The auto companies were doing incredibly well. So auto workers should be doing incredibly well as well.
Israel announcing daily four-hour pauses in the conflict against Hamas that allows civilians to move out of Gaza and receive humanitarian aid. Corey Myers, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
It's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and all veterans appreciate your salutation and your well wishes and appreciation for the service that they committed and dedicated, and also the vow that they make that will continue until the day they die. To protect our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Great to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez. Johnny Lang's going to be joining us. And speaking of Veterans Day, his new book, My Army Days with Elvis, Friendship, Football, and Follies. Johnny Lang joins us now. Johnny, welcome to the show. Happy Veterans Day to you early. How are you?
Oh, fine, Bill. Thank you very much. I sure appreciate it.
Well, what a ride for you. What was it like in those early Army days with Elvis?
Oh, that's just a lot of fun. I hung out at his house every weekend, and we played football, and there was always a bunch of people around, and it was just a fun time.
Mm-hmm. How did you connect with Elvis?
Oh, I got to know him. Let me see how. When I left Fort Hood, we left Fort Hood, went to New Jersey on the train. And on the train, Charlie Hodge, the little guy that used to handle the scars all the time, says, "Hey, Johnny, Elvis is down a couple trains. Why don't we go walk down and see him?" I said, "I'm not going to bother the guy. He's got enough people bothering him."
Right.
He said, "I'm telling you, what's it going to hurt?" So anyway, hemmed and hawed, I says, "Okay, I'll go." So we walk through the train, and there's Elvis sitting down, signing autographs. My heart's going 40 miles an hour, and I walk up, and I'm just staring at the guy. He looks up at me, and he goes, "Sit down, Chief." So I stayed there about 15 minutes, all frustrated. I never met a movie star in my life. I had no idea what it'd be like, and it was just amazing. And then we spent 10 days on the boat, USS Randolph, going from New Jersey to Germany. And And that's when I really got to know him, and I got to get the inside of him, see what he was really like.
So that happenstantial moment of nervousness and not being around a celebrity, you know, there just must have been something about you, and, you know, some people might call it destiny, and here he is, he tells you to take a seat. And that starts a relationship, a memorable relationship that, you know, becomes...
10 days on the boat, he got to know me, I got to know him, and Elvis is so sharp. He could spot people that just wanted something or just wanted to be his friend. In that 10 days, the guy knew I loved the guy, you know, just because he was Elvis, not a big star. And that did it. So every weekend for almost a year and a half, I spent all my time at his house in Bad Nauheim.
Well, and I got to imagine, you know, in that in those 10 days, he didn't have people around him like he would normally have, you know, protecting him, being a bodyguard or keeping people at bay. It was just you and him and the rest of the soldiers making that trek to Germany, right?
Exactly. And on the boat, he gave me a watch. I'll never forget it. There was Charlie Hodge. I was up on the deck, and it was dark as heck. I says, I'm getting out of here. This is getting too dark. If I fall over, they'll never know it. Then when it started to come down, I look up, and there comes Elvis. And he said, hi, Johnny. Hi, Charlie. And he got his hand behind his back. And I'm looking at the guy, you know, and he takes it and puts his hand out, and he says, here, Johnny. And I, you know, I didn't want nothing from the guy. I just wanted to be his friend.
Anyway, right, exactly.
He goes to give me the watch, pulling my hand back, and he says, take the damn thing. So he gave me a watch, I still got $72.50, got it, and I had Elizabeth, his secretary, a sweetheart, she was 19, when I met her, I asked, would you do me a favor and have the watch engraved for me? So she had to Johnny from Elvis.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Well, you know, and that was the thing that we hear repeatedly about Elvis. He was such a generous man. And that must have shocked you. I mean, how you know him probably at this point, probably less than a week. And and he so appreciated your friendship that he honors you with this gift.
Yeah, I had no idea. You know, I was just flabbergasted. Couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so here for this short period of time, you know, your army days with Elvis, I mean, what are we talking about in total that you were together? A year or two?
Year and a half.
Uh-huh. So here it is. And now, did you stay in touch with him after he left the army?
He asked me, he said, Johnny, if you get a chance, come on down and see me anytime. I'd be glad to see you. But, you know, I got out, Bill. I was a steel worker all my life. I went back to work. I got married. Had 5 kids. I just never had my own life. I just never made it.
Well, but you know, here it is. This book, as I was told by your publicist, was a bucket list. A goal for you is that you wanted to document this time with Elvis and to let people know of the Elvis that you knew, not necessarily the celebrity, because you got to know him at a whole different level than his fans or the media, for that matter, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I got to know him the way, you know, one-on-one, two soldiers.
What would you say that the people... What would you say about what you... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I never met a guy with so much charisma in my life, Bill. Never.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I was just going to ask you, what would you say in terms of the way you knew Elvis that would help people understand, you know, who the real Elvis was? Because in a sense, you got to meet him one-on-one and know him outside of the lights of celebrity and fans yelling and screaming and wanting a piece of him, right?
Right. So I would say, knowing the Elvis that I knew, the guy was nothing but heart. Funny as hell, man. The guy was funny as hell. Loved a good time. everybody with just respect. And he once told me, he said, Johnny, without fans, all the money in Graceland that I have, there would be none. He says, the fans gave me everything. I love them, and they love me back, and I'm very fortunate in that aspect.
Now, you were around when he met Priscilla, right?
Yeah, I danced with her New Year's Eve, 1959. And the cute story, I was dancing with her doing what they call halftime back then. Elvis was playing pool, and Red, Lamar, all the guys were there. So I'm dancing with Priscilla, having a great time. I'm 22 years old, and she looks like she's 22. She's 14.
Yes.
One of the guys come up to me, I can't remember who, but he says, Johnny, you got to quit dancing with Priscilla. I says, what's the matter? He says, I'm just doing what I'm told, man. Don't dance with Priscilla. Elvis is looking at you. I said, well, the big dog's worried about the little dog. That's me.
So you had your fun for a little bit, and after that, of course, you honored the wishes of his friend, right? I mean, and understandably, I said that you know, here it is. You had a fun. You made a memory, and it was time to you know, leave her alone, right?
Oh, no question. Naturally, she'll never remember me. However, I will always remember dancing with Priscilla.
Well, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't? You know, and so it's quite the tale to tell. Well, you know, for you, Johnny, I got to imagine, you know, your kids, your grandkids, you know, here it is for a year and a half right there to experience, you know, the king of rock and roll, you know, Elvis Presley. And
they play football every Sunday. There'd be a real nice crowd watching us play. I was a halfback, a little guy, about 5'5", 5'6", weighed 145 pounds, run like a deer. I played my stocking feet, and he was a quarterback. And I loved it. We played it every weekend. He was he loved playing touch football. And so we all wore black shirts, and everybody wanted to take us on. And
well, there it is. My Army days with Elvis. Johnny Lang has been our guest. Johnny Lang, happy Veterans Day to you, my friend. You take care.
It was your best vacation ever. You on a beach having a great time. Then some stranger walked up and said, hey, how'd you like to come here for the rest of your life? And then he went on and on about how much money you could save. You listened, saw his presentation, ended up signing a contract. And now, 5 years later, you have a timeshare you never use. But you're still paying for it. That's the contract. But what if we could show you a legal way to end the contract and get out of your timeshare nightmare? It's called Timeshare Exit Defense. Our lawyers will work with the gigantic timeshare company lawyers and get you out of your agreement. No more maintenance fees, no more payments. Call now. Get your free ebook to learn how to exit your timeshare.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-254-1421. 800-254-1421. 800-254-1421. That's 800-254-1421.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc. From the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vine-to-bar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
With Veterans Day tomorrow, I know that, for those of us who have had parents that participated in World War II, it is a bit heart-wrenching as we continue to lose members of this great generation. And I think we're down to under 200,000 remaining souls that participated in World War II. And there's so many stories that are yet to be heard. Some we will hear before their passing, some after their passing. For those of us who had parents and that were involved in World War II, the thing that you always hear consistently is their reticence to talk about their experience. Well, we have a son, Walt Larimore, who was able to document the experience and share it with us, about his father, Lieutenant Philip Larimore, whose astonishing experiences in Southern Europe during World War II were revealed for the first time, by his son in this new book, At First Light. It's a true World War II story of a hero, his bravery, and an amazing horse. Walt, welcome back. It's been a while since we've talked, and great to have you here the day before Veterans Day.
Good to be with you, Bill. Those of us that haven't served don't often enough say thank you to those who are serving and who have served. And it's great to be with you the day before. We all have the opportunity to do that.
Well, and today for me, Walt, especially, this is a doubleheader because, I've got the USMC Marine Corps birthday, 248 years, being a former Marine, and then we get Veterans Day tomorrow, so, free pancakes for the next couple of days.
Well, and well-deserved. And, we've started a new tradition in our family as a result of the research I did to write this book. But in the past, Veterans Day, Memorial Day were days of family, get together, grill, mm-hmm. celebration. But now we devote part of each of those days to look at a story of someone who went before us, someone upon whose shoulders we sit, someone
exactly.
whose footsteps we walk in, is someone who gave us the freedom and liberty, Bill, that we enjoy today. But I wonder if we're going to have in the future if we're not careful.
No, without a doubt, it isn't questioned. But, like your father, there is still that light, that light of hope that we have about this American dream, because it's so compelling. I share with our audience, Walt, once you've been to the banquet table and you realize how good it tastes, you don't want to give that up easy. I mean, we may be in a bit of a stress right now, but, this is the nature of this great American experiment. It was born out of a revolution. It continues to, be strong enough to handle not only the disparity, but also the courage that it takes for people
you know, to hold on, you know, that believe in this great American idea. I mean, when you look at its legacy, regardless of how they've tried to rewrite history, the truth is the truth. You know, your father, I'm sure, would attest to it. You know, those of us who have lived a certain number of decades look back and realized how blessed we were. And though it seems that we may be, you know, beyond that tipping point, as some have suggested over the recent years, I still have faith in the American people that, you know, freedom once tasted is hard to give up.
Well, and the purpose of this book, At First Light, was to resurrect and revive the forgotten memory of the Southern Front in Europe. It was 2 million American men that fought. And that Southern Front, Bill, you know, the Northern Front had one D-Day, and it was horrific. But the Southern guys had five D-Days. The Northern guys fought 336 days of very difficult and costly battles. The Southern guys fought 912 days. And the 3rd Infantry Division was the first infantry division into the war, the most decorated infantry division in the war, had the most casualties of any division in the war, but also had the most medals of honor, the most distinguished service crosses, the most silver stars. And my dad had the privilege of fighting in that. But he was the youngest ever graduate of officer candidate school at 17 years of age. You don't even get in unless you're
a
graduate.
Yeah, exactly.
He had been a juvenile delinquent, got sent to military school, off to OCS, graduated, and then entered the war as the youngest frontline officer in World War II. Fought for 15 months, was awarded every award the Army gives of valor, except the Medal of Honor, lost his leg and almost his life at the end of the war. And retelling his story, and retelling the story of the 3rd Infantry Division and the Southern Front in Europe, people that read it, remember that legacy, Bill, that you've mentioned upon which we live today.
Exactly. Well, your father must have been a smart guy. 17 to be able to go to OCS. I mean, there must have been a lot to this man that got him elevated to that unique position.
Well, you know, he was actually a juvenile delinquent.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah.
His mom and dad were... that worked very long hours. His dad was out of town. He was the latchkey child. But they had the wisdom to know that his passion was outdoors, leadership, marksmanship, equestrianism. And so they sent him off to military school at age 13. And there he found his passion and he found his gifts. He graduated with honors from military school just after Pearl Harbor. And that's why I think he was able to get through OCS. A quick follow-up, since the book was written, Dad was inducted into the 3rd Infantry Division Hall of Fame August 1st of this year. And he was inducted along with General Marshall, General Eisenhower, and General Ridgway, to tell you how much the Army thinks
exactly
what he did. And General David Petraeus, former CI director of the surge in Iraq and Afghanistan as a 4-star general. General Petraeus just nominated Dad for the Officer Candidate School, the OCS Hall of Fame. And so this is a book. If you know anyone who's a World War II aficionado, you'll enjoy this book. But the horse stories, if you're a fan of War Horse, to which this book has been compared, this book's for you. And I love the recent reviews that say it's equivalent of Laura Hillebrand's Unbroken or Stephen Ambrose's Band of Brothers in the way it's written and in the way it reminds us of our heritage and legacy.
Yeah. What a compliment. Tell us more about the horse, because you say, you know, this is about an amazing horse. This is part of this true story. Tell our audience about that.
Yeah. He lost his leg 1 month before the end of the war, April 8th of 1945. The war in Europe ended May 8th. That was to be E-Day. But 3 days before that, he was sent on a secret mission into Czechoslovakia. The Hitler, in his evil, as he had the idea of this perfect race, the Aryan race, also wanted to have the perfect horse for that race. And he chose those royal Lipizzan stallions, dancing horses of Vienna, Austria, the Spanish riding school, to be the perfect horse. And he has stolen and sequestered the world's population of Lipizzaners in a horse farm in Czechoslovakia. And Russia had been given the job of liberating Czechoslovakia, but their armies were starving. And so they entered eastern Czechoslovakia. They came across a trailer trying to evacuate 22 Lipizzans. They killed, skinned, cooked, and ate them. And so the vet at the Lipizzan horse farm contacted the U.S. Army and said, help us. We need to save this breed. They sent in Dad on a secret mission. He flew in with a Piper Cub pilot. He didn't know the pilot's name. The pilot couldn't know his name. No dog tags, no identification. If they were caught or killed, they were AWOL. They were disavowed. But he flew in. One of the vets came out on a Lipizzan stallion with a thoroughbred horse next to him because he didn't know if the Army officer flying in would, you know, be able to drive, ride or not. Ride like the Dickens.
Right.
They identified the horses, flew out. The message went up to General Patton. He authorized Operation Cowboy. A cavalry unit went in and saved the Lipizzans. And Dad was able to do that 3 days before he lost his life and almost lost. I mean, lost his leg and almost lost.
And so how many Lipizzans were they able to save in that mission?
Yeah, the entire cadre of Lipizzans, I think it was 140 or 150.
Oh, wow,
Lipizzans.
Okay.
They walked almost 100 miles to get out of Czechoslovakia. General Patton brought three of them back for himself as war spoils. What Dad did not know was that General Patton also brought back that thoroughbred that he rode on in Czechoslovakia. And that was the horse, I won't give away the end of the book, but that was the horse that ended up, I mean, Dad saved Chug, because Chug was, the horse was doomed to the glue factory, because he was only 7/8 thoroughbred, so he was going to be destroyed as not a perfect horse. So Dad saved Chug, Dad and General Patton, and then the end of the story is how Chug saved Dad's life. It's a sweet, sweet, redemptive story.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much about this, and as I shared earlier, countless soldiers, who were on the, as you say, the forgotten front, for almost 3 years of fighting, and how many other stories are yet to be told?
You're absolutely right. The good news about the book, Amazon's put it on sale this Veterans Day weekend at 40% off for the almost 40% off for the hard copy. But the reminder to me, Bill, is for all of our listeners, if you have someone you love who's a little older, who's a veteran, a grandmother, grandfather, and you don't know their story, just ask them. Interview them. They'd love to tell you their story, and you can save it for the generations that are coming behind. And I'm thankful that Daddy wrote 450 letters home that outlined his story, and that reminded me if he had emailed them or texted them, we wouldn't have them. And so over this holiday weekend, every holiday weekend, write a note to someone you love. Actually, write it and send it. Bill.
Exactly. Yeah, do it old school. Why not? Walt Larimore has been our guest. His new book, At First Light, A True World War II Story of a Hero's Bravery and an Amazing Horse. Happy Veterans Day, Walt. Thank you so much for being with us.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.